Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I would like to say that we had an incredible week this week. I myself was quoted by the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and several of the major newspapers from around the country. They wanted to know what the Reverend Edward Pinckney has to say. I tell you, we talked. We talked about things that should be done and things that we can do. Also, I want to congratulate the audience. You did a remarkable job calling in to the Benton Harbor Police Department. And I think that what we did, we accomplished a lot today or last week. We was able to set up a meeting with the chief of police and work on some of the major issues in reference to Carrington Penny. Today, nobody would believe that this 18-year-old young man who was found in the snow, who was served alcohol by an adult, where one of her children or one of her children's friends put a Molly into his drink, then dropped him off in the snow to die. Not a single person been charged with anything. According to them, it was no foul play. It just so happened that this family were personal friends with Detective Wes Smigowski. Those of you who live in this area might know who Wes Smigowski is, but we're going after him. We're going to teach him to let him know he's not above the law. This is a murder. This is no issue where they say no foul play. Penny, Carrington Penny, was murdered. And someone has to answer for his death. And I'm happy to tell people today that we're focused and we're on the right track. The Wall Street Journal, they have been calling me constantly, and they want to write an article about the Reverend Edward Pinckney and his activities. But I'm here to tell you today, it's not about Reverend Pinckney. It's about the people. Anytime New York Times pick up or quote you, you know that's big time stuff. Wall Street Journal, Los Angeles Times, all the different newspapers from around the country. But we have something better this week. We're planning on having a tremendous show this week. But we're going to talk about, this is Black History Month. But to me, every month is Black History Month. There's not a month that I don't consider Black History Month. I'm going to read you this article in reference to civil rights, which was one of the most important things in the history of the civil rights movement. But very few people understood exactly what this means. This was a game between Texas Western versus Kentucky, the University of Kentucky. Now, Kentucky had all white ball players. This was in 1966. Texas Western had seven black ball players. There was no black ball player have ever, ever played ball for any university in the South. And I'm going to read the article. It says, the 1966 Texas Western, now known as the University of Texas at El Paso, the Kentucky NCAA Championship, certainly the most significant game ever played in the history of basketball, simply because of the segregation nature of basketball in the South during the 60s. This game and this gang alone served to remove the barrier. Unwritten rule that college coaches observe in the failure to sign black athletes to a four-year scholarship in the segregated South. After this gang, the barriers were lifted, and Southern schools began in earnest to recruit black athletes. Adolph Ruff was the head coach at the University of Kentucky. He went to great lengths to refrain from diligently recruiting black ball players. He did recruit Wes Unseld, a graduate of Louisville High School, also recruited Butch Beer, but both players felt that Kentucky would not be a welcoming environment, and they chose to attend the University of Louisville. Ruff did pay a visit to Ron King in his home in 1969 after the Texas Western versus Kentucky game. Pat Riley was on that team. Some of you might know he was the Lakers coach, part owner of the Lakers. Now he's part owner and general manager of the Miami Heat. He was on that Kentucky team, an all-white team that did not play black ball players. So those of you out there who don't understand how important it is to get out and do things, you see, if you learn to work together, if you learn to do the things that need to be done, we can win this battle. It's a us against them, the have against the have-not, the rich against the poor. There is no in-between. And we must learn to stand up for what's right. We can do this. And I tell you this, I'm excited to be part of the black dream. But on that note, let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
Of their character. I have a dream today.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. We cannot say yet, free at last, free at last. Thank Almighty God, we're free at last. But listen, I cannot wait any longer to bring on my guest, my man, my guy, a true and a real former Black Panther. A man who history speaks for itself. A man who credentials stands out. There's nothing like this man. This is my man, my guy, Larry Pinckney. Larry Pinckney, are you there?
I am, my brother.
How you doing today?
Well, I'm always great when I hear your voice.
Well, you know how we do. We just take it one day at a time down here in Mississippi. This is what we call it. We don't call it Michigan, Benton Harbor, Michigan. It's Benton Harbor, Mississippi. That's what it is. They're using
right.
The rope. They're using the cross burning. They do everything here. And yet the people still does nothing. But Larry, here's what I want to talk about a little bit about. I want to talk about this guy, Carrington Penny, this 18-year-old boy who they found in the snow, and someone has slipped him a molly. They dumped him off in the snow, and the police department here say it's no foul play, and the detective that was investigating the case is personal friends of the people who dumped him out in the snow. And I do want to thank you for making that call, because when you make a call, people listen. So I think that's crucial to start this battle. But let's talk about Carrington, but I also want to talk about the other bodies that came up in Lake Michigan, Timothy Bulldog Allen, Dwayne Flowers, Toby Williams, and William Edward Hirsch. All of them under 35 years of age, came up missing. I think they may be out for body parts. That's my opinion. But Larry, talk to me about some of your experience in dealing with stuff like this. What do we need to do?
Well, you know, my brother, first of all, thank you very, very, very much from the bottom of my heart. And I have to say, as I always do, all power to the people. You know, the reality is that in America, the United States of America, 2014, we have gone backwards. We have gone back to the time of where they were dredging the Mississippi River, and they came up with bodies, many bodies, not just the bodies of the three, quote-unquote, civil rights workers, but many, many, many other bodies, Black bodies, all right? That had just been they mysteriously disappeared. Now, you are absolutely correct, my brother, when you say, Reverend Pinckney, that it's really Benton Harbor, Mississippi. That's what we call out here in Minnesota, Mississippi. In fact, we ought to just call it America, Mississippi, because the reality is that things have become far, far worse. You know, Barack Obama talked all this nonsense about hope and change. What we have actually gotten is a rope and chain. Not hope and change, but a rope and chains. And when we look at Benton Harbor, for example, and Benton Harbor is a prime example of what's going on really throughout the United States. We think of these bodies. You named the persons whose bodies have been dredged from the river out there in Benton Harbor, okay, Michigan, or should I say Mississippi, all right? But the reality is that, first of all, the detective, this Wes Migalski character, of the Benton Harbor Police Department should never, I repeat, never have been placed as the investigating officer, particularly since it was none other than his friends who are directly implicated in the 15-year-old Carrington Penny Morrow. You dig? I mean, that's just common sense. Let's just use our common sense, people, okay? He should never have been involved in the investigation at all, okay? And then when we consider the fact that no serious or thorough, and I repeat, serious and thorough, unbiased investigation has been conducted into the death of, and I say the mysterious death of Carrington, not to mention not just this young brother, 18-year-old man, Carrington, but into the death of the other individuals that you specifically named, whose bodies have been found floating, all right, right there out
and
there.
And Miss Leslie, one of them was found with his penis cut off.
Oh, my God.
And they said no foul play.
No
Another
foul
was
play.
Weighed down with weights in the lake. No foul play.
This is, you know, wake up, folks. Black, white, brown, red, yellow, folks, you better wake up. And black people, I'm talking to you first and foremost. Wake up. The bottom line is, it is you. It's your line, your life, your family, all right? Family, all of us are directly impacted by this. But you know what? Black people had better stop trying to play ostrich, sticking their hands, their heads in the sand, because when you stick your head in the sand, that means your butt is sticking way up. And that's what they're doing, is they're kicking our butts, i.e., they are killing, literally killing our youth, killing black folks, all right? We need to find out who directly and indirectly are responsible for this. Who's responsible and who's responsible for the cover-up? Not just for the action, but for the cover-up there too, or thereof. So,
and you know what? You are absolutely correct. The last person to see Bulldog alive was two white officers.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there was a police officer, the last one to see Dwayne Flowers alive, the one that we found weighed down. So, you know, we have some major, major issues here. But the point is, these people don't understand that their children could be next, or even them. This is the problem that I have with people who don't take a stand. Because if you don't take a stand, they're coming after you.
They will be next. You know what? They will be next. They are next. And you know what? Wake up. Wake up. Because it's just a matter of a very short amount of time. They will be next unless we stand up and we demand an accounting, not just an accounting, but the necessary actions to be taken to hold the people responsible for these dastardly deeds and for the subsequent cover-up of these dastardly deeds. This is what we need to be doing. You can't run. You can't hide. No place to run and hide, all right? We have to deal with this. We have to deal with it now.
Absolutely.
Stop, you know.
And Larry, let me say this. You know, people are so confused. They don't understand. They're not conscious of what's really going on in this world. People think that government actually is here to help us. I mean, I can't understand that thinking. Maybe you can help me. Explain it to me. Because I'm telling you, my ears are open. I need to know.
It's time for us to understand what the government is. The government is a criminal syndicate. Let me repeat that. The government is a criminal syndicate. It cares only about continuing its own existence, all right? And until such time that we come to understand what the government really is, and I don't care whether the poster child, the head boy, or head girl, the head man, or head woman, representing the government is black, white, brown, or red, or yellow, it doesn't matter. If you're representing the government, then you are not representing the people. Okay?
Wow.
You are representing the corporations. You are like out there in Michigan, Whirlpool. You're not representing the people. Everyday, ordinary, struggling, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. All right? So it's really quite simple. It's nothing complicated or complex about this. The fact of the matter is that there is an agenda, and that agenda is to make sure that people of all colors, black, white, brown, red, yellow, and I'm emphasizing black right now, I'm doing it deliberately, okay, that we are kept, we are dumbed down, that we're kept ignorant, that we continue to, as H.R.F. Brown, Jamil al-Amin said, that we go for the ghost. In other words, we go for the okey-doke. We believe the nonsense when we know in our hearts and our minds and our common sense that it's the okey-doke. It's not real. It's not true. So I'm going to repeat. The government is a criminal syndicate interested only in securing its own existence. All right? It doesn't matter who or what you are. What matters to them is money, corporations, power, et cetera, et cetera. But that does not include, the legitimate needs, interests, and aspirations of ordinary, everyday black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. And the people of not only Benton Harbor, Mississippi, but of America, Mississippi, had better wake up and understand that we are in an extremely crucial situation. We have gone backwards, not forward, and the more CNN, ABC, CBS, PBS, Fox News, the more these media outlets talk about progress, the more you can be certain that we are moving backwards, not forward. So this is something we really need to deal with. We need to understand our very lives are at stake, the lives of our loved ones, of our families, of our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our fathers, our aunties, our uncles are at stake, and they're being snuffed out. And only we the people, everyday ordinary people, only we can turn this thing around. But if we don't do it, then you know what? Shame on us.
Amen. Larry, I tell you that you hit the nail right on the head. I tell you, that is an education for the people. They can sit around here and believe that this government is not a criminal enterprise. They better talk to some of my TI people. They better talk to some of the people that's around here, some of the political prisoners. See, they don't get it. Most people don't get it. You see, that's why we're in this compromising position today, because they don't get it. But Larry, I tell you, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever your heart desire, and I want you to know I love you and I appreciate your call. I mean, you may have been the person that broke the camel back for the sheriff department, and I'm going to keep my eye on them. But next stop is to call the prosecutor office, Michael Seppin. I'm going to give that phone number out right fast. It's 269-983-7111. I'll repeat that, 269-983-7111. Michael Seppin, whoever answers the phone, tell him you'd like to speak to the prosecutor and you want to talk about Carrington Penny Morrill. So those of you out there, get on that phone tomorrow morning. Make sure you call and ask for Michael Seppik, and you want to know how the investigation is going. Have there been any arrests? When would someone be arrested? I need to know that as soon as possible. On that note, Larry, you got 90 seconds. You're my hero. I love you. And just keep up the wonderful work you're doing. Give it to us.
Right back at you, my brother. In the words of former political prisoner Lynn Stewart, you and me, you know, we are joined at the hip. And in her words, we are the dynamic duo, and that's only because we are joined at the hip, and we're going to keep fighting this struggle. We're going to keep on keeping on until such time as we can truly say, oh, happy day, And we haven't reached that.
That's right. That's right, my brother. Hey, man, love you so much. And listen, you take care of yourself. I'll talk to you soon. And after you make that call tomorrow, give me a call. Let me know what happened.
I will, and I'll be making that call. And I urge everyone out there, make that call to the prosecutor's office. Make that call, 269-983-7111. And don't take no jive for no answer. This is our lives at stake. Thank you, my brother.
All right now. Thank you so much, Larry. I'm going to bring on my good friend, Dr. Short. Dr. Short, are you there?
Reverend Pinckney, I am here and happy to be with you.
And I
want to
thank you for making that
call
that you made to the Sheriff's Department. That was tremendous. It also gave us an opportunity to really pound on them. I met with them yesterday in the office, and I gave them a little butt whooping that they would never forget. But unfortunately, we got to move on to the prosecutor office. But at that time, I know you got something you want to tell us. Tell me what you want me to know.
Well, Reverend Pinckney, I want to let you know that last week, along with Operation Vote, had a response to the President's State of the Union, which was, in the words of the late James Brown, talking loud and saying nothing. And thus far, over 250,000 people have seen the film done on Paul and two other activists from Chicago. And that's actually almost as many people had seen at one point the video our partners in Chicago made relative to the President's own video. Did you hear what I said?
Oh, I heard you, my brother.
They were just a couple of thousand ahead of ours.
Interesting. Hey, did you see that the Wall Street Journal and New York Times quoted me on that?
Yes, I saw it, Reverend Pinckney.
Absolutely.
And that we're setting an agenda. We really need to. I'll be honest with you, Reverend Pinckney. We need to have a talk on immigration.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not anti anybody, but and we need to be very careful because they're planning. If you look at Chicago, if 92% of young black men in Chicago are unemployed, how are you going to tell me that fighting for tens of millions of new Americans when 92% of a certain group can't find jobs, no other country in the world does immigration like that under those circumstances, except for in places where they plan to do what's called a population replacement program, and that's a nice way of saying genocide or ethnic cleansing.
Absolutely.
And we need to get out in front and demand, not ask. We demand our place at the table to say, wait a minute, Mr. President, wait a minute, a plutocracy. How are you going to tell us there's a recovery when there's 23% there's a 23% rate of unemployment, if not a 44% rate of unemployment in this country? And then you tell me we're going to benefit from millions more people being in the workplace. I'm not talking about mistreating anybody. Don't get me wrong. But everyone tells us he's president for the whole country, so you can't ask for anything as an African American. And yet, when it comes to immigration, it is specific groups of people, in particular, people from Mexico, are being picked out to be given special help. How is it that someone from another country here illegally, I'm not saying that I like American imperialism because we're down. We don't want anybody run out of their country or exploited. We're in agreement on that. But how do we become the victims, already domestic victims of oppression? Now we're going to get a new group that will be put over us and across the country. They're kicking and making black folks homeless and putting people in the country legally in public housing. They can't let people have phonics in English but are doing bilingual education for others, closing one set of schools and yet opening. I'm not against anybody, and I think you hear what I'm saying, but how do we get so generous to the point that nothing for us and everything for everyone else? And we've got to say there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with guns being sent to Mexico by the Obama administration. There's something wrong with NAFTA, where they steal the land from people in Mexico, and Mexico's having a civil war where thousands of people are being murdered. When they change this policy, if we don't understand what happens, you have to reunite families. So if they're 10 or 12 or 13 or 15 or 20 million people, they only need one relative to come up here. That's 40 million people. Where do you think the cuts will come from? Who do you think will have to be crowded? You understand what I'm saying, Reverend Pinkton?
Hey, I know exactly what you're saying, and you know, and that's a major point, because very few people maybe look at it from that point of view. Very few.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we don't look at nothing. I mean, we don't read nothing. We don't look at nothing. We don't say nothing. All we do is sit around and just nod our head. You know, we're still in slavery ourselves. We can't eyeball them. We can't do nothing. But that's a real good statement you're making. People may not understand it. And I don't think it's you being against anybody. I think you're just telling me how you feel.
And Reverend Pinkton, you know, I talked to you and I said last week on your program that Empress Seeley and I are going to be going to Detroit this month. And I mentioned I'd need some help to go because, you know, this economy is strange, but I have some good news hopefully by the end of the month for you, something that just happened. But do you know in the city of Detroit, they're planning to bring in 50,000 to 100,000 workers from South America to the city of Detroit and give them housing? I'm not knocking anybody getting it, but how come people in Detroit, black in particular, can't get those homes for a dollar? But people are talking about 50 to 100,000 workers being brought in. The same thing is being done in New Orleans. They have centers to teach people who do not speak English so they can get jobs in New Orleans, while they're sending people to jail 50 at a time in the city of New Orleans. Does that sound like injustice? Does it sound like I'm some crazy Archie Bunker? Or am I a person saying, hey, wait a minute, how did taxpaying working folks suddenly have no right to anything from this criminal syndicate called a government? And yet someone who comes into the country unlawfully, they may be victims of oppression or a social injustice where they come from, but that somehow pushes me further down where I can't get redress when my people have been historically persecuted and mistreated here for the last 400 years. And I take it particularly hard because I'm a Native American as well as an African-American person. My folks have been here all along, and now everybody's more important than me. And and something's wrong with me if I don't want everybody to take everything. You know, people say this is a nation of immigrants. That's not completely true. My folks were in the what's called the Washington, D.C. area 8,000 years ago. An immigrant, please. Anyway, Reverend Pinkney, you mentioned to me when we were talking last week that there's going to be a movement across this country. It's already happening. One part of that movement is our friend Sister Empress, who coordinated, originated, and led the Million Woman March, is looking to do the same sort of movement among our women and young people in 2015. And so we are going to the city of Detroit. And I wanted to, again, remind folks, I need your help. It's tough out here, but I think I almost have a solution, but it will come towards March. I can't wait to announce that. But I need your help. If you can share or help me in any way, it doesn't have to be a lot, it'll add up, please send something to me in writing. My address is 226 Ascot, A-S-C-O-T, Northeast. You can use the letter N-E. N as in Nancy, E as in Elizabeth, Washington, D.C., zip code 2002. Do I need to repeat that, Reverend Pinkney?
Yes, please.
226, A as in apple, S as in Sam, C as in candy, O as in orange, T as in Tom, place, Northeast, Washington, D.C., 2002, and really need your help because we're going to do this. You also need to know, people, we must help each other. If I could just tell you that people who are serving and trying to help other folks in the community face unprecedented attacks. I've been outspoken against war in Syria, and I had a report come back to me that there were a lot of people who were impressed by my background, but they said, you've spoken out against President Obama's wars. Nobody will hire you. What a great record you have, but you shouldn't have said anything about peace. You shouldn't have complained about the genocide in Libya, and so people are afraid of you. Imagine, people will deny me employment because I think it's wrong for people to be put in ovens and have their throats cut and be the victims of depleted uranium. That's why you have to ask.
That's right. Listen, Dr. Short, what I'm going to do, call me after the show, and let's talk. We know someone's going to send you some money, so let's call me after the show. Don't forget. Also, I need you to call tomorrow to that prosecutor's office. I'll talk to you about that after the show.
We're going to get the prosecutor. We're going to bang him up. I had a great time, Reverend Pinckney. I called, and I was a good NAACP-type Negro. I mean, I should have put some Dr. Palmer's in my hair to sort of get in the mood of selling out. And, boy, he talked about you. You're the baddest N-word up there. I mean, he just, he talked about you so bad. I didn't even catch what he said.
Pinckney is, don't talk to Pinckney, whatever you do. That's what he tells people in town. Don't talk to Pinckney, because Pinckney's going to come.
He never goes to any of the meetings. Who gave you the number? And I was very polite. And when I called the prosecutor, you'll be so proud of me. I sounded like I actually went to Harvard because, you know, normally you hear me acting loud. But Reverend Pinckney, we have to keep pushing on this. People need to call. I feel great. And you know what? Me and Mary Neal and some others, I owe them. We're going to do a blitz on the phones like they ain't never seen this week.
Let's do it. Let's do it. But listen, I got to move on, big fella. But let's call me after the show. Don't forget.
I won't forget. Bless
you. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. I got to bring in my good friend, Mary Neal. Mary Neal, you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney. I enjoy my Sundays with you so much. Some warrior man. I tell you, I really admire you. I admire Larry Pinckney and Randy Short. I just, you know, I admire Lynn Stewart. I admire her husband. It's just amazing to know that wonderful people have a spirit to fight the takeover, the complete takeover of this world by elitists who are basically white supremacists. And I just am so grateful to be among you, and I admire your work. I tell you, I sit here and I smile on Sundays, and sometimes I get to speak and other times I don't, but I learn so much, and it's such an uplift to know that there are people who are not sold out. There are people who are fighting this fight. And, you know, I believe that you have determined in your heart to do what the Bible said, and that is to do business until he comes. We continue to press for liberty and justice for all. I love the way Larry Pinckney says, red, white, yellow, green. You know, whatever. We're all in this together. And these people, do you know, I have been working with some Native Americans over the last 2 weeks. Do you know that these white supremacists have removed 5% of the Native Americans' children from their homes, from their families, and from their reservations to get them adopted off? They just walk into a Native American family's house and take their children, and it takes them... They have to wait 60 to 90 days to find out why their children were abducted. This is the system that's abducting their children. And this is happening all over the Middle West. South Dakota is probably chief among them. And I said, you know, I know that mess wouldn't work on black families. you know. They're walking in these people's house and removing their children. And then they will say of the men in the family, we moved the children because the men were molesting them.
They always say that. That's allegation, huh?
They fabricate proof of the allegations, and they railroad them in court. And here's the problem. The Native Americans have been too much to themselves. They have not been speaking out against this oppression. They have not been vocal about it. And they're not even standing up for each other and being vocal about what they're doing to these people. But lately, the Native Americans are coming out, and they are speaking. I'm interviewing one tonight on the Mary Loves Justice prayer meeting. These people have honestly been railroading Native Americans into prison over child molestation charges as an excuse to remove up to 35% of Native American children. You know, we know that when gay couples, excuse me, get together, they can't make babies. So I guess that's one reason for it. They're taking these people's children and then alleging false child molestation charges against the men in the household. Sarah, this is just absolutely outrageous. I want you to also know that Terrell Scott, I believe you had his mother on one of your shows.
Yes.
Her name is Holly Alston.
Mm-hmm.
He was kept in jail almost 5 years with no criminal charges because his we found out that his district attorney and his defense attorney were trading off on when the court date comes up this time, the defense attorney would put in that for a continuance. When it comes up the next time, the district attorney would put in a statement in court records saying that Terrell Scott was unfit for trial because he's mentally ill and he's in a mental hospital. And they traded off like that, both of them lying, and the man is sitting right in jail. They're lying on record to deny an American citizen his right to a fair trial and a public trial. And they kept doing that for 5 years, denying due process of law. And they told the man that if he did not agree to that plea deal, that he would never get out of jail. That is essentially what was happening. And I believe that's happening all over the country. Because remember, if you go in your kitchen and you see one bug, you probably got an infestation. If you see one or two, you can believe you've got many more. So I believe they're doing that all over the country. They did it to Shannon Nairobi, N-Y-A-M-O-D-I. That's the 19-year-old young man who saved a Caucasian woman who had been shot. He ran to her aid. He called 911 for her. And by him being the only black person around, they put the shooting on him, even with the victim saying he's not the one who shot her. So they're keeping him in trial. In jail to force him to accept a plea deal on a shooting that even the victim said he didn't do it and gave him an affidavit that he didn't do the shooting, he saved her. But they don't want to arrest who did it because white people did it, and that's in Franklin County, North Carolina. So what they're doing now, and this is really tremendous, Reverend Pinckney, they're arresting black people and withholding trial for years, if necessary, until these arrested people are willing to sign a lie, a confession, a plea deal. This is absolutely insane for us to put up with this. These people have no sense of justice. They have no sense of morals. They only want to treat us like slaves. Yes, I have a court order saying that black people are immaterial in the court system. And I mean, I got a court order from the federal court, the United States federal court, saying that justice for black people is immaterial. And if anybody wants to see it, I'll produce it for you. So I'm telling you, it's to the point where one needs to think about, why are we going along with this justice system? I mean, you know, they send you a warrant or send you a summons. I mean, you know, if they're no more interested in justice than that, it's going to come a day when people just ignore those summons and ignore those warrants because they're completely bogus. They have no intention of dealing fairly with black people, Native American people, and even that Asian man I told you about, Reverend. They beat him almost half to death. 84-year-old man was jaywalking. He jaywalked in traffic in New York. And the police beat him half to death. The man went to hospital for head injuries, an 84-year-old Asian man. I tell you, if you're anything other than wealthy and white, now understand I put the wealthy first, because if you're poor and white, you're in the slave class too. If you're anything other than wealthy and white, this justice system is out to get you. And we need to stand together. We need to stand as one. We need to lay aside our individual prejudices, saying I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican. What does that matter to them? It doesn't matter at all to them. They vote as one when they're ready to pass the Patriot Act. They voted as one when they were ready to pass the NDAA bill with its provision for concentration camps for Americans. They voted as one on many oppressive laws. They just cut food stamps, I think, last week. So what do they care about the people? I say to you, they're not acting like they care about the people of America any more than they cared about the people of these countries where they're bombing folks. They really don't care. They are stealing the Native Americans' children. They are putting the men in jail on false charges. They are putting everybody black in jail that they can get there. They're keeping them as long as possible. If it's time for someone to get out of jail, they try to put someone antagonistic in the cell with them so they can fight and they can lengthen the sentences. These people are totally corrupt. This system is totally corrupt. And I say to you, elitist, if you keep it up, nobody's going to pay any attention to your summons. Nobody's going to pay any attention to your warrants. Because it seems to be a situation where you're only looking for an opportunity to enslave people. It seems that you're only looking for an opportunity to mistreat people. It seems that you don't have justice in mind at all. In fact, some of the worst criminal activity that I've read about all last year and this year has come from the police. The police have become terrorists. Especially in the black community, they're terrorists. And so, you know, we have a lot to pray about, and I invite you to join me in prayer on the Mary Loves Justice Prayer Hour at 9 p.m. Pacific time tonight. And I'll have a Native American woman there whose cousin was wrongly arrested for molesting a little girl. And the truth is that the district attorney, a U.S. district attorney, went to the child's grandmother's funeral to dare them, if they recant their testimony, he will take their children away from them.
Wow. That's, you know, one thing, Mary, that is tremendous. Listen, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want. Go right ahead.
Well, what I want to say, sir, is that we need to support Banco organization. We need to support Reverend Pinckney. We need to support the fight for life, because as Larry Pinckney said, this is about whether we live or whether we die, because these people have a war on the black and brown. They have a war on the poor whites. They have a war on the Asians who are poor. This is a war. And we need to support our battlefield soldiers. And we need to send a check to Reverend Pinckney as soon as possible. You can't send it soon enough because the need is great. We have soldiers. Let's make sure that they have the equipment that they need to fight on our behalf. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney. Please give your mailing address. And I just want to let everybody know I really appreciate them, and I'm so proud to fight with you.
Amen. Hey, I appreciate that also. Listen, you can mail a check to Banco. That's Banco, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. That's Banco, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Thank you so much, Mary, but it's time for me to bring on the big guy, the guy from Chicago, the 250 hitter. And I tell you one thing, he got this book, and he wants me to get it to Obama. Those of you out there who's listening to this, I want you to listen to my good friend, Yo, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. I'm just taking it one day at a time.
You know, I'm going to tell you something, man, and I let me give it to you straight. People on your show, man, really beating up my guy, the president, and you told me in the conversation last week, I'm the only one that really come on there and talk good about him.
That's and right. You are the only, matter of fact, you're probably the only person on any talk show that talks good about him.
Okay, now, I'm going to tell you why. I was empowered or encouraged to write that book to stop unemployment nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
Let me repeat that. Stop unemployment nationwide. But I need help to get that book to the president. And I'm going to tell you how. We're going to start with the United States Postal Service. You know, just like they say, people, you got to know. The government, it is one thing your activists know. The government is not for the people. They are not for the people. They are for the rich people. And so what we got to do, we have to have knowledge on how we get paid. The people at the post office, the first thing they'll tell you, they get paid $8 a day, and they'll tell you they get paid twice a week. They totally bamboozle. They've been hoodwinked. And they've been had. But CHAP is a book that will definitely tell you how people at the post office is getting paid. And now, the reason I wrote the book, just like one of your callers, he said about Spanish people coming
right.
over
mm-hmm.
working. Okay, and all those people, and black people, all the black people out of jobs. Now, remember, I'm going to tell you this. This book was written by a person. I mean, not written by a person, but inspired by. It came from God. And so God knew he got multitudes of people. So this pay system will take care of a multitude of people. So he don't have to worry about that. So he can put that to rest. You can have jobs. Upon jobs, upon jobs, you have jobs till you give out. And the system is set up, you work, and you accrue money for your next year's salary. So how you supposed to work is 40 years. 40 years, and you out, you know. And it's very easy to learn, but it's very hard to see because people at the post office do not want you to see this. Now, I'm going to tell you something like this. The reason people work overtime is because they don't want to hire new people. So
that's
overtime,
mm-hmm.
if you see people working overtime in any budget, you know, city budget, any kind of budget you see, and it's overtime in there, that means that you're causing unemployment. So you really defend yourself if you want to get rid of unemployment. Because I'm going to give it to you like this. You got 8 hours of pay, and you got what they call it, the post office, 8 hours in value. Now, 8 hours in value is just like this. If you're a truck driver, letter carrier, mail handler, clerk, you know, a lot of people don't know, first of all, American people, they don't know all them different types of jobs at the post office, one thing. They can think of letter carrier, and that's it. But that's not true. But they have different hours, and they have different hourly rate. But every day, you got 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. and a 7-day work week. So you off 2 days, and then you got to work 5 days. But the system says, and God say, you work 40 hours, you work 1 week, you be off 3 weeks within 1 week. Now, I'm not going to go into the different tasks because people don't know what I'm talking about, and they don't understand it, but I'm telling you something. It's five different task pay systems. It's a 24-hour task, and it's actually 72 hours. It's a 48-hour task. It's a 24-hour task. So 72, 48, and 24. The letter carriers have the 24-hour chaps. People that work at the AOs. AOs are area post offices, the ones that you walk up to, go in there and get the stamp, and you see those stressed-out postal workers mad, and then you go in there and say, long line, they got a two, you know, because they're being stressed out at the post office. They're being stressed out, and they're being lied to by the postmaster general. I'm leaning on him. That's his voice. And so the president of the United States, he don't know nobody no post office, but he put in his hands, he think he's going to do a good deal. But I tell you what, you get me in front of that president, my president of the United States, I love him dearly. Because you know what? And he's going to be the one of the best presidents in the world because he's going to resolve unemployment nationwide. It's going to be a universal pay system. One pay system, but three different types. Five different types, I'm sorry. Five different types, but one pay system. The reason you want that one pay system is that you can interchange jobs. So it's going to be money in there for you to go to the government to the government of this United States and get a student loan. They say, for instance, you got a job, maybe washing dishes or whatever, and you want to change jobs. So you want to go to school. And so you go there and say, look, I'm going to go and the schooling, I want a loan, and I'm going to pay you back out of my bonus money because you work for bonus money. Right now the post office is taking your bonus money, and they're not giving it to you. You know what? And then they got this, they go around with it, the postmaster general. He knows that he got the schedule, a 7-day work week, 24 hours. He know this.
Wow.
He know these things. He know it.
Hey, but, listen, yo, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want.
Okay, what I want to say is that all the people that you call in about the police officers, school and education, run one of those CHAPS pay system, and you will have all the teachers, you have jobs for everybody without taxpayers' money. Oh, I didn't say that, did I? Without taxpayers' money. So CHAPS is a government bailout on jobs and taxpayers' relief. And I tell you what, little Ed, you get me in front of the president, and then all the people that's talking to you,
mm-hmm.
they're going to say, you're a miracle worker because you knew me all your life. All right, man, that's it. And I love you, man. I'll talk to you later on in the week.
All right, take care of yourself.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Big Ken, you there?
Yes, Big I'm Ken. Here. Can you hear me?
I can hear
Hello.
You now. How you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, I'd like to I hope the guy's on about that book because I'd like to address him on his book a little bit. Is
mm-hmm.
he still on?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to tell him his book would be a good thing if we lived in a free society. If no one worked overtime, there would be more jobs. But we don't live in a free society. We live in one that's controlled. Very few people have a full-time job right now. He said if Obama read his book, that he would create more jobs. The only way Obama would like his book if it told him how to destroy jobs. In that case, he could sell that book to George Bush, George Soros, Henry Kissinger, and all the other ones up there. His book would be flying off the shelf if it told him how to destroy jobs.
Absolutely.
And
you know what, you're absolutely correct. What he's saying do make sense, but he don't understand that's not what they're trying to accomplish. That's what he
doesn't understand.
He don't understand that unemployment, you got to keep the poor poor. That's the whole program. You got to have unemployment. You know, if, don't you think that they already thought of these ideas already? It's amazing. But anyway, you know, I do want to say this. I am making calling for all you folks out there, church folks, anybody else that go on this own land who are targeting people. You are violating the people's rights. I want you to know that. You are not, if you're doing it, you need to stop it right now. Target individuals have rights. So stop violating their rights. And we're going to continue to talk about this until you stop doing it. On that note, Ken, talk to me.
Okay, Reverend Penny, I'd like to add one more thing, too. Obama, he said he ran on hope and change. Well, we've seen the change, but we don't see much hope.
That's right.
Also, right now his administration is trying to put through the TPP. That means we're going to have more jobs running out of this country, but, yeah, he said Congress can't even look at it. So if he's such a great president, he better hurry up. He's only been in there, what, about 5 years now?
Absolutely, absolutely. Sometimes people are not conscious of what's going on in the country. They only,
right.
Black people only look at the skin complexion. That's what we do.
Well, yeah, but, you know, if you look at it that way, look at Martin Luther King. The
mm-hmm.
news the other day on his anniversary was talking about how great a guy he was. They must think the black people are dumber than hell, because I can remember growing up when Martin Luther King was doing his marches, they were all saying on the news, everywhere he goes, he incites riots and all this and that, until they killed him. And then
mm-hmm.
now, all of a sudden, they want the black people to be on their side and come watch their news, so they say, boy, what a great guy he was. I mean, these people are unbelievable. Huh.
You're
absolutely
correct, because I know the ministers in Chicago said that he was a devil from hell.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. But, Ken, I know you got something that you want to tell us. Talk to me.
Okay. You know, in 1981, William Casey, the head of the CIA, said, we'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is. So everybody should think about that one. And also, I'm pushing all these people that don't think things are right. And on May the 16th, they got Operation American Spring. We got a colonel calling for 33 million people to be in Washington. I will be there, I'll tell you that. And the next thing, for all the TIs on the line today, Pete Santelli, 10 p.m. Pacific time, he's going to have Jesse Ventura on either Monday or Tuesday. And let me give out the phone number, because I'm hoping he'll question Jesse on what we're going through in the mind control, because he's been speaking out against what they're doing to us. It's 712-432-7848. Now you go on and you can listen to him, and hopefully he's going to question Jesse Ventura, because we know that they cut that brain invader. We know that they hacked it to death. I'd like to know what Jesse really knows. But if the TIs don't start sticking together, last week Reverend Pinckney asked everybody to make that call. And before it was over, they want to talk to him now. How come they want to talk to him? Because you got enough people to stand up. We got to do the same thing. We can't just let somebody hang out to dry. We got a girl in California right now, and the leader of the other group, FFCHS, won't even put it in his newsletter that she wants 50 people to show up in court for her on her court day. He won't even put that in there. It's unbelievable to me that if you don't like somebody, we're all TIs. You can still put it in there, and I'm gonna be calling him out on it, because all the TIs should know what's really going on. If you can't stand up for somebody else and they're in trouble, don't expect anybody to stand up for you. And thank you for listening, Reverend Pinckney.
You know, Ken, you are absolutely right too. You know, it's more important. See, if people got this thing in their mind that they have to like you in order to work with you. You don't have to like people. All we have to do is have the same problem. If you're a TI, you got the same problem that the person next door got. You got all these problems. Let's learn to work together, and we can do that. So those of you out there, make sure you be in California. Those of that in California, do you know what court she's going to be in?
You know, I don't. But if anybody wants to know her name is Kathleen Watterson.
When did she go to court?
I think it's about 2 weeks now from now.
Okay, well, then next week, why don't you have that information so we can bring them on?
Okay, I'll do that, and I'll even have her phone number, because I'd like to see 50 people. I know if I drive out there to help her out,
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right, Ken, thank you. Hey, and don't forget to make that call tomorrow for me.
Hey, that last guy, boy, he got mad at me. He told me he's taking what I was telling him as a threat.
Yeah, well, you know, they always say it, but you beat them down. Matter of fact, I really appreciate all the people that was calling, and that's what, you know, once you learn to work together, you can do a whole lot of things. So let's learn to work together and make this thing a reality and take this thing to a whole different level. Thank you so much, Ken. I appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon. Let me bring on my good friend, Glory. Glory, are you there?
Yes, Reverend Pinkman, I am here, and this article today leaves me like kind of heavy at heart, because I do understand of these we're targeted survivors, because you have to be a heck of a person to survive what's going on. But we're not the only ones. We're the ones that are being tortured. That's why we know about it and do so much research about it. But this is what I'm going to read today. It came from a colleague of mine, Ken Rhodes, which he received it from Deborah Tavares at stopthecrime.net. This is part one. I'll read part two next week, because this is really something. And all the targeted individuals, listen real close to this one. From the U.S. Navy Special Operations Disclosure on Technologies and Applications Being Used Against American Targeted Individuals. First of all, 315 million Americans are targeted individuals. They are in an electromagnetic concentration camp under unbreakable electronic mind control. There is a secret military police structure that silently controls much of America, especially in regards to current regarding population culling and management. On the lowest level are actually police and soldiers. As I was told, everyone who carries a holster and a badge is directly under our control. It is all under NORTHCOM, Navy elements and private black ops. Security firms are used for much of it, especially the dirty work. If it is all done by neural frequency weapon systems running on a now thoroughly complete atmospheric topologies of HARP, ELF wave, and etc., with nanobots from chemtrails, aerosols, in and around the subject. In the bigger picture, Americans and the global population are being buried alive in a frequency fence. Even the tiny handful of people who have exposure to mind control, for example, insiders themselves, or most targeted individuals, have no idea how fantastically advanced, subtle, and powerful the current system really is. It is beyond words. Anybody can be taken over within seconds and be totally remote control without knowing it. It is beyond the capacity of those who haven't experienced this being done to themselves and others around them to even comprehend this. That means unless it's happening to you, you have no idea. All Americans are computers. It takes an average of approximately 5 minutes to access any American and remote control them. The same apparently applies to Europeans and likely, potentially, most of the world. It can all be seen like a computer network, where the human brain and every single cell of the body is the computer, and the mind, the entire biological system, is the software. A general patch update can be down to everyone in a general or highly granular targeted demographic. That means this patch can come down over the entire grocery store. Everyone in the grocery store will receive this mind-controlling information, and they will go into like a robotic state. Okay. This patch, this could be a patch to put you in any emotional state, say to suddenly see the light and be a proponent of ideology, religious beliefs, have a certain disposition towards certain other people or groups, anything. A patch can be sent to everyone, everyone that fixes and prevents cancer. This basically already exists. Likewise, you could be given cancer or heart attack, stroke, and or otherwise killed instantly. You can be knocked out while driving around the curve. And aside, I was told by a handler one time that this is not health care. This is not a health care system, but rather a wildlife management. Many targeted individuals experience street theater, gang stalking. They are ignorant of what is actually happening to them. They believe hundreds of random strangers or regular supernumeraries, that means everyday people, like the mailman, around them every day are secretly being paid by the government and other entities to mess with them. How it actually works is that live operators monitor them remotely and simply control anyone around them. Reference the scene in the movie Control Factor with the waitress. Now, the way Deborah Tavares received this information, it came from the Navy, a whistleblower. He didn't leave his name, but it was him and four other gentlemen, I presume, that sent this information along. So when we start discounting our people, they're this, they need to do this, they need to do that, you have to keep in mind this technology has been in operation for many, many, many years. And they've kept us docile. If you read your toothpaste container, if it says fluoride, don't use it. That's what they used in the Nazi concentration camp to make people kind of settle down and just go along with the program, go along to get along. So we have to pay attention to what is going on, and I feel every targeted individual or targeted survivor it's our job to educate the entire population as to what is being done to all of us. Thank you for listening.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Gloria. Gloria, I also want to thank you for calling. I really appreciate that, but I need you to make a call for me Monday morning to call the prosecutor office and pretty much say the very same thing. The number that I'm giving out is 269-983-7111, and the guy's name is Michael Sepik. He's the chief prosecutor, Sepik, S-E-P-I-C, Michael Sepik. He's the chief prosecutor. I want you to call him and find out about the investigation. Ask him, have they arrested anybody yet? Or are they planning on arresting anybody? So these are the words, and that's for Carrington Penny Morrow. Or you can say Carrington Penny. Either one will get you to him. Carrington, K-A-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N, Penny, P-E-N-N-Y. And I want you to call the prosecutor office tomorrow morning. I want you to flood that office with calls. That number is 269-983-7111, 111. Just remember that. And ask for Michael Sepik, the chief prosecutor, and we want to know how's the investigation coming along with Carrington Penny. We want to know, have you arrested the murderer yet? So on that note, you people out there, get out there and make that call, especially you TIs. You are the one who usually don't do anything. So get out there and take care of your business. And, Gloria, I really appreciate you because I know you made the call, and I will definitely, definitely talk to you very, very soon. So after you make the call tomorrow, give me a call back, Gloria.
I sure will.
Thank you. Edward, are you there?
Yes, Reverend Pinckney, I am here. I've been listening to the whole show, and oh my God. Thank you, Larry Pinckney. Thank you, Dr. Short, Dr. Randy Short. Thank you, Gloria. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Ken. Everybody's just telling things and waking people up. The people, and it isn't just black people that are asleep, and it isn't just any one race that's got their head in the ground and their butts up in the air. Their propaganda has been putting people in heads in the ground for a lot of years. The truth is really pretty much unknown to people. I take a little survey every once in a while to see how many people understand what they're spraying over our heads, the strontium, barium, and aluminum every single day where I'm at, and they have no idea. They're oblivious, most of the people, to what is actually going on, that the redwoods are dying, the black forest, the trees are dying, Shasta Mountain is completely polluted with aluminum. When the aluminum gets into the ground, the trees shut down. They stop taking in the water. In Hawaii, the bark is just coming off the trees. The organic farmers aren't able to grow. They actually have to grow tomatoes indoors. They're not able to grow them outdoors now in Hawaii. What's going on is an assault on all fronts, and people better wake up real quick, I got to tell you. The more people that wake up, the better chance they have of even making it through this nonsense. People's health is definitely under assault. There's no question about it. Let's see, Henry Ford said at the beginning of the 1900s, if the American people really knew what was going on, there'd be a revolution before morning. And this is over 100 years ago he said this. Nothing has changed. It's been the same agenda the whole time. It's just coming to a point where it's because of the internet, people are becoming, it's the information age. People actually have a lot more information. Well, it's only going to be a matter of time before he shuts down all the communications, Obama. I mean, let's face it, he took Keene and his son and had him murdered in the Walmart parking lot. I have the videos. And they were just doing mortgage seminars coming from Las Vegas going to Florida. On the way there, that was the day General Crystal stepped down the next day, the head of 16 security agencies, and he said, if the president can go around me and just go to and do anything he wants and order people to be murdered, and these are two men in white suits, and they called them gang members, you got to be kidding me. That man was teaching people how to get people out of prison using the bid bond, the payment bond, and the settlement bond, that everybody is bonded. Every single prisoner has a bond on them. That's what upholds the dollar and the yen. The knowledge that people are deficient in, let's face it, is what will destroy them. It says in the scriptures that everybody talks about, our people shall perish for lack of knowledge. It doesn't say anything about them perishing for lack of prayer. It doesn't say anything about them perishing from lack of faith. It doesn't say anything about them perishing from lack of reading the scriptures or going to church. As a matter of fact, it states that the body is a temple. The body is a temple. That's quite something. It's quite amazing right there. Why is it a temple? Because it houses the highest, holiest experience this life has to offer. The living truth, the highest truth of all is you, the being. What is going on is that people are basically been disconnected from themselves, from the life that's inside of them, from that feeling, from the being, the life, the joy, the peace. You can call it by many different names. It's just words that man made up, a peace, a joy, a feeling of satisfaction, a feeling of tranquility, a feeling oh, my God. It's who you are. When the body is polluted, a feeling of fulfillment. That's what people are looking for in this world. Everybody's looking for something. And they're looking for one thing, a feeling. Everything everybody does in this world, I don't care what it is, it's all about a feeling. Everyone wants to feel that beautiful feeling, not realizing it's who they are, and there's a way to go inside of yourself and feel that beautiful feeling lifting your breath slowly in and out of your body. Every breath of your life is being given by the giver of that breath, by that creator. There is a slight challenge when the body of the temple is polluted with all kinds of toxins, with all kinds of heavy metals, radiation, all positive ionic matter. You need to get the toxins out. Reoxygenate the body with nascent singlet oxygen. That's why people are living 20 years longer in certain oxygen-rich areas of the United States and not in the rest of the cities. They're all dying at 68. People are living to 88 in certain oxygen-rich areas. I studied this. I studied at the International Institute of Oxygen Therapies. I was introduced to great men. I studied medicine and law for many years now. And the type of medicine that I studied has nothing to do with what they teach at Harvard or any of those like schools that are controlled by the pimps that own the pharmaceutical companies and creating their hookers that give out their pharmaceuticals. And they talk about on the show in Hawaii, if you want to look at the tricks, all you got to do is look in the mirror. If you buy their medicine and if you fall victim to their cut and poison medicine, you are a victim, literally. They murdered my mother. She drew her last breath when she was 15. Chemotherapy and radiation is one of the seven biggest lies they tell the people. It never did work on anything. It doesn't prolong life. It is an absolute waste to put that pollution in the body. But you can get it out. There is a way to get out all of the positive ionic material out of the body so the body can return to normal homeostasis. And if you reoxygenate the body properly, then you can raise the oxidative reductive mechanism of all the cells in the body and restore it to total health. You can actually reverse your aging process as well. And don't be fooled. There are people living a lot longer than they're telling you on this planet. People are unaware of the real truth about things. And the greatest truth of all is you, the living truth. They don't tell you that either. They want you to think that it's something outside of you that you have to go to or pray to. The truth is you are the one that is, you need to feel you. You need to feel that life inside of you. And you need to wake up quickly before they put everyone into these internment camps and they pull away everybody's finances. What I'd like people to do, I'll give you a website that you could go to. I don't think I've disclosed it, but look at a website, abchealth.info. ABCHealth, H-E-A-L-T-H, .info, I-N-F-O. And you can look at, if you put in your email address and your name, it'll shoot you back an email, and it'll give you an entire website, and it'll give you testimonials about people that have utilized a magnet that pulls out all toxins out of the body, all of the pesticides. You can even wash your fruits in this stuff, calcium bentonite clay. It's been used for thousands of years around the planet and has had the most amazing results on every type of dysfunctional health you can ever imagine. That combined with some things that aren't involved in that website, like reoxygenating the body and raising the oxidative reductive mechanism of all the cells in the body, a combination of that and renutritionalizing the body properly, and you're not getting it from the foods. All of those so-called non-foods in the stupid markets with corn syrup in them, loaded with mercury, says the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, actually stated that they cannot control the refineries that are processing the corn syrup. They don't have the manpower. It's all lies. Everything that they talk about
is lies. Everything you listen to on mainstream news is slanted. I've watched the videos where the army is right in the news stations. They shut it down the minute they say the wrong thing. They don't allow them to say the wrong things. They brought 50,000 Nazis into this country after World War II. They took 1,500 of them and created the second CIA and put them in NASA. How about Plum Island off of Long Island, where they're running their programs with all the Nazis and creating chemical warfare that escaped onto Connecticut, Lyme, Connecticut. They call it Lyme's disease, destroyed so many people's health. There's a lot more that we could talk about. If you give me a call, we can discuss changing anyone's health that is having a problem, and I have some pretty good advice for people that can do something for themselves. You can call me at 818-613-9206. That's 818-613-9206. My name is Edward. Edward means guardian of wealth, and certainly your health is your wealth. You may not be able to do something about the government that's going on. It's so dramatically widespread. They actually have under statute regulations, the district attorney, city attorneys are allowed to make up evidence against you if it furthers their endeavors and puts you in jail. And it matters not if you're black or white. So what they want to do really is divide and conquer. They want races against races. They want a civil war in this country because they don't want you to really see who's really causing the problems in this country. The leadership of this country is very knowledgeable about what's going on. And I don't know how much more time I have, but I'll just keep talking until you cut me off.
You got 90 seconds. Go right ahead.
I love the things that the knowledge that some of the individuals, as I mentioned the names of all the individuals actually that have been on this show today, they're very knowledgeable and there is much more knowledge. We can save a load of people. If you know anybody that has IRAs, 401ks, retirements, has their wealth under the United States, it doesn't help to get gold, it doesn't help to get silver. They have a record of everything. They own the companies you buy the certificates in. There are a couple of structures that can restructure individuals to the international structure. Get busy. Call me. I'll turn you on to the right situation. Let's save as many people's wealth as we can. We can have our own nation. We can live on this planet in peace, dignity, and prosperity. And it may not be in this land here from sea to shining sea owned by the Vatican. My number is 818-613-9206, and I love you, Reverend Pinckney, and you just keep fighting. Just keep doing what you're
doing. Hey, I love you too, man. Take care of yourself. Let's talk soon.
Very good.
All right. Ms. Tams, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How you doing today?
I'm hanging in there. You know, I've really enjoyed your show today. I've been listening to it, and I'm just glad to hear a lot of people, like I stated, you know, confirming what I've been dealing with for years. And like I said, a lot of people don't understand, you know, what you're going through when you're dealing with people that are targeted, you know, targeting you. And like what they did to me with my ex-husband, help actually stole my kids from me, kidnapped them from me. And when I was trying to tell how the court, I read in the document, how the court documented down that I stated I pled no contest to being mentally ill. And I never did that. And when I took the documentation to my court-appointed attorney, he said, where'd you get this document from? A psychologist gave it to me. And she told me, if you report that I gave it to you, they'll fire me. And I told her, I said, this is information clearly showing that they're lying on me because I never stated anything like that. And just, you know, that even with my son, one of my sons, Daniel, he had told me in 2007, he was telling me that my oldest child, Joshua, you know him,
yes,
was in three different gangs. And I was questioning him, and he was saying, well, one of the gangs are called the C4. When I spoke to my son, Joshua, about a year and a half ago, he was telling me how he had to leave St. Joseph, Michigan, because he was getting into things he shouldn't got into. And he just went off telling me that he said the evil spirit and Pop, my ex-husband, Dr. Tynes, tried to kill me many times, and I automatically reacted because I'm his mom. And I had said to him over the phone, I said, what did you just say to me? And then I repeated what he said, but I left out the evil spirit. I said, did you tell me that your father tried to kill you many times? And then he went into like a chant. He just went into just saying, no, 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 no. I said the evil spirit. I said the evil spirit. I said the evil spirit. Then he started saying, oh, and you're mentally ill. You're mentally ill. You're mentally ill. And I was like, Joshua, what's wrong with you? So I know even what everyone is saying that is speaking on mind control and, you know, what's going on. I've witnessed this stuff myself, even with all of my children, with how one minute they could behave normal and the next minute they can behave totally under someone's control. And my ex-husband, who's a psychology major, and he's a medical professional, a pediatrician, which he shouldn't be working with children, he had even looked at me and laughed, and he said, you know, he said, I altered the kid's DNA. I had the DNA altered, and I have total control over him. And what was strange to me is when I seen my son Joshua in 2001, Benton Harbor had a parade, and when this lady and watching the parade had dropped something, and our son Daniel, he just turned 20 this month, and this was back in 2001, he wouldn't bend down to pick up what the lady dropped, and Joshua grabbed Daniel's arm real violently. And my cousin, Dr. Tynes, he looked at Joshua and he went, Josh, that's your brother. And he started prying his hands off of Daniel's arm. He couldn't even remember who he was. And my oldest brother even told me, Craig Dorsey, he even told me he witnessed my son behaving like that. And it's just, you know, unless you're really around them, actually seeing details and what's going on with them, you may not pick it up because on the surface they act, you know, normal. And I see that this is really, you know, real, because even Dr. Eric Ayers, he came out and told me in 2005. He said, I seen Joshua with Donald, and he said Joshua looked real oppressed with Donald. And I told him, I said, I've tried to tell that to Child Protective Services. They're not looking into anything deep enough. And they probably wouldn't look into anything deep enough like that, because the person that my ex-husband had help him was a lady who was from the Navy. And my kids were pointing her out, talking, and she had assaulted me a couple of times, even when I was pregnant with Michael. And I couldn't understand what was going on, but I found out later, you know, and when I started looking up information about mind control and everything, it was talking about how the CIA funded therapists, doctors, you know, all across the country to do illegal mind control experimentation on people when they came in to see their therapist. And the guy, Dr. Harvey Weinstein, his dad, and Dr. Frank Olson's son, Dr. Eric Olson, told what was going on and what they did with mind control to their dads, because their fathers were psychiatrists in the military. And when they tried to expose what was going on, they put them under mind control to, you know, to commit suicide. And then they ended up suing the CIA. The information is out there with what they're doing illegally. You know, two people, they're just hoping that no one would stand up and fight them and come against them. And all while when Judge Virgil Smith had forced the kids to live with him in 2006 to 2007, and I was fighting in the courts to get them removed, finally they got removed back from him. But still, they were still under his control, and then they ended up putting them back with him again in 2009. My ex-husband had a young lady who was a nanny for the kids who told, it was a young lady that worked at the safe house named Shannon Pollitt, that she witnessed my ex-husband abusing the kids. The kids did talk about being abused even while they were with him, but they were constantly shut down. The system, CPS, ignored everything and blocked any teacher, anyone who came out to try to expose what was going on. So I know it's something, you know, deeper going on, and I know by my ex-husband being ex-Air Force, and he had, like I said, ex-Navy lady help him, and she even said, my daughter Camille had told me years ago, she said, Mom, I heard her saying that she knew how to do hypnosis. My ex-husband, Aunt Viola Creighton, came out and told me in 2000, she said, you know, Josh has been put under hypnosis. And she said that's why he's behaving the way that he does. So in our situation, when you try to get some type of justice from the court and from Child Protective Services, they went right along with what my ex-husband was doing, because I guess he's a part of the system, a part of the government. He's a psychology major first. And when I saw what was going on, no matter what places I went to, because even the FBI had told me, you did everything that you're supposed to do. You went to all these government agencies for help, and no one's doing their job. They turned their head. So that's why it's very pertinent and extremely important to put a stop to this, even if there's a way to do some type of documentary to get these people, you know, recorded like on the video and like the different people that were talking and got, you know, detailed information about actually what is going on to put that out there, because that's what this one guy that was trying to do dealing with the Lawless America video, but that ended up somehow getting shut down. When we went on the, when he recorded us, you know, and the videotaped us and everything, and my daughter is on, what is it, under Lawless America, Camille Times, with K-A-M-I-L-L-E, and they were trying to expose what the government was doing to people all over, but that got shut down, even though her video is still out there. There needs to be some type of way that there could be somebody videotaping these people talking about what's going on to get it out there, because they were trying to make a movie dealing with Lawless America to expose the government. This man had went to, I think it was about 30 or 40 states, and was talking to people about the corruption in the court system, how they were being dealt with and how they were being denied, you know, and the lady that was speaking earlier saying that how they were denying the Indians their due process and their rights. Dealing with rape, molestation, everything, it's the same thing that we went through. And I know that on both sides of my family, we have heavy Indian heritage, Cherokee Indian. And my ex-husband, Dr. Tynes, he has heavy Indian heritage. He said he was Blackfoot, you know, mixed with something else. So, you know, you information deeper and get, you know, the right and get the facts out, because this is very important. And I think there needs to be done some type of a video of the people like they did with Lawless America, even though the government shut that down.
You know, Ms. Simon, you are absolutely correct, and that's the beauty of this thing. But I think it's important also to get your message out here, because I think what you're saying, I know you have documentation to support what you're saying, which is so important. See, a lot of times people don't have documentation to support what they're saying, but I do know that you do have it, and I really appreciate you. Listen, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, then I got to move on, but go right ahead.
I just think that everyone needs to come together, some type of meeting or whatever. We have to be wise with, you know, the information that we put out, you know, on the air, not letting certain people know what we're doing, when we're doing it, because, you know, they'll send people in to try to shut it down, you know, to gather together and get something moving forward.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, Ms. Times, listen, if you get a chance, I want you to call the prosecutor office tomorrow and ask about the investigation of Carrington Penny for me. You got a pen? Let me give you the number right fast again.
Okay.
Okay?
Have it.
Okay, it's 269.
Uh-huh.
983-7111, and you ask for prosecutor Michael Sepik. Spell Sepik, S-E-P-I-C.
Okay.
He's the lead prosecutor, and ask him about the investigation of Carrington Penny. That's K-A-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N. Penny, P-E-N-N-Y. Ask
okay.
me to call
okay.
her. Tell me
sure
to call
will.
To find out about the investigation of Carrington Penny. And you need to know.
Okay.
Has the person that murdered
sure
him been arrested?
Okay.
Okay? All right. Thank you so
All
much.
Right.
Eduardo, I hope you can do the same thing for me, too. But listen, I got to bring on Roz right now, and this time I will talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right now. Roz, are you there?
Yes, and I am so blessed to be here, and the show is so wonderful. Everybody in America needs to hear it, and I'm going to e-blast that out. And thank God it's archived. Thank you, Larry, for starting us off. Yes, these people need a little kick in their tush, and they need to get up and save this country. I say it all the time.
Absolutely. And, Roz, you know, you are right on point. I did see your letter, and I sent it back, and I thought it was a great letter. I think you
right.
hit on
I'm
all
going...
the major points.
Oh, thank you. I'm going over it now. After the game, I'll send it out to everybody. And I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to ask, if you'll send it on, what I'm asking everybody for is that they start calling LAUSD, faxing, emailing, that they give me back, return to me all the benefits that they owe me. They paid off a doctor, Dr. Stahlberg, $16,700 to write a bogus, unsubstantiated medical report to lower my rating, take away my medical treatment, the proper medical treatment, care, help, and not pay me at all. This was Dr. Stahlberg's second unsubstantiated medical report. In 2005, he gave me a 100% rating and said I was credible and cooperative. But I guess for $16,770, do no harm, that the Hippocratic Oath that a doctor goes by is not important. $16,770 trumps it. Now, I'm not alone. Teachers, injured teachers all across America are suffering in this unconscionable nightmare as I have gone through. Teachers all across America are being targeted, especially if they are older, for unsubstantiated reasons, for reasons that don't exist because they're older and they want to deny them the money they owe them and their benefits and retirement. They're so busy with their sweet deals and targeting that the schools are unsafe for the students. They do not follow the laws for the students, the special ed students, the different grants they have. They have all these students out on the street that will go straight to jail, which if you have all these 100,000 students out on the street, that raises your test scores, which is something to think about. We need to go back to the basics of teaching the students. But I am not alone. What I am going through is across America, and each one of us, it's the year 2014, we need to be more vocal, more visual, united together, no matter what color we are, what political party we belong to, and we will be victorious. This love and caring through the Lord who has brought us all together today and another day, we need to come together, and we can win. They don't like to hear about things. They like to resolve them. And on my paper, you can paste and copy what I've written. You can paste and copy the addresses, and it's easy to send it out. And you just keep sending it out until they do something. And they will, because they don't like it. And when I did it myself, Don Watkins, who moved $105 million out of the allocated money for injured teachers, they get that. There's an office for this. But she moved it to another fund, which is illegal. Took her 4 years to pay me properly for mileage and parking and to be paid properly. It's a 30 to 45-day turnaround time for all teachers, all injured teachers. They changed the check numbers. They changed the pay sheets. They paid off doctors, like Dr. Stahlberg, to lie in his reports, and he did, and there's all this paperwork that refutes everything he said. They paid an outside lawyer. Ever wondered why LAUSD, Los Angeles Unified School District, has all these extra lawyers? Because LAUSD does not follow the law. And the lawyer misrepresented all the facts, constantly misrepresented all the facts. And then you have my judge, Gerald Cohn, who is a judge of the year that could not get one fact right. He had several answers for each fact. The doctor, the lawyer, and the judge, they had notes, they had all the substantiated evidence, and yet, isn't it amazing that when it came to my case, the long arm of LAUSD quickly paid the doctor for an unsubstantiated report when it takes months to pay doctors and years at times, and this is what they're doing. We must stand up. This is our taxpayers' money. This is our lives. This is the lives of our children. Their education is being ruined. They are dumbing down our children's education. My students were injured and sprayed with toxic chemicals in their faces, too, like I was. The school didn't notify their parents. They didn't call for the paramedics. They didn't call for hazmat to clean up the room. And I'm certain the parents and the students, many of them, are sick today, and they don't know what's wrong with them. So please join me. You can call me at 818-631-0513. 818-631-0513. Edward and I have the same area code.
Very good. I see that. That is tremendous. But listen, I do want you to make that call tomorrow to the prosecutor office.
Yes.
Do you have a personal piece of paper so I can give you the name and the number?
I have it written here. Let me tell everybody. Mike Sepik.
Right. Give me the number right fast.
269-983-7111. And when we all work together, we're victorious.
Absolutely.
If we turn our heads.
We were just victorious this week because we got a chance to do some things that's never been done before. And I do want to thank everybody for calling in. Please call this Michael Sepik at 269-983-7111. As soon as you call, someone going to come on, you're going to ask, please get me to Michael Sepik, the prosecutor. Hey, listen, you got about 30 seconds to say whatever you want, and then I got to bring on my good friend Ralph. Go right ahead.
Okay, I need your help to save my life. My health is deteriorating. I just, in my lungs, and just exhausted from being sprayed in my face with the toxic chemicals from a fire extinguisher. Please. Let's unite together, because if we do this, we can unite in all issues. We can save ourselves. We can save our country, our cities, and our schools. My email address is rozywow, R-O-Z-Y-W-O-W, at AOL.com, R-O-Z-Y-W-O-W, at AOL.com. And I feel so blessed that I've been able to take your master's class in protesting and standing up for what is right, Reverend Pinkney.
Wow.
And I would be honored. Yes?
Absolutely. Listen, thank you so much. I just appreciate you for taking a stand.
Oh, thank you. Right. There's 25,000 teachers, and they need to get up off their tush, and they need to go do something. I can't believe it. I have been working so hard, and when I'm not working, I'm in bed sleeping because of what I have. I found somebody to film teachers that have been in teacher jail, injured teachers, to go on YouTube.
Wow,
which is
that's amazing. Listen, I got to move on, Ross. I got to bring on Ralph, but please, just stay with me.
Okay.
Ralph Porter from beautiful New York, where they're having the Super Bowl right across the bridge. The main man, the man of the hour, the big guy. Ralph, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney, and I'm listening, and I am so sorry that I'm late tuning in, but I will say that in this last month, we are involved in getting Lynn adjusted to being out of prison. A wonderful situation. And we are involved in saying thanks to the tens of thousands of people who were involved in her liberation. And we're looking forward to you being here February 14th at St. Peter's Church. And the information is on Lynn Stewart's website to welcome her home. As you know, she is on probation. We're not sure what the government is going to allow her to do. We know that she's not allowed to speak to ex-felons. We know that she has to get permission to leave the five boroughs. And we're hoping that they will continue to give her permission to do the things that they gave her permission to do before she went to jail. And so, and then her health care, getting the government to pay for her health care, that is, getting on Social Security, getting back on Medicare. And we're trying to work that out, and it is not easy. The government is not happy about what they had to do, and they're not making it easy for what we have to do. And as a result, you know, what we have to do to get medical care for Lynn. And as a result, I am not paying much attention to the game. I know the game is big and they're having all kind of events, but I haven't been to any of them. And
hey, remember, it's just a game. We're involved in real life.
Exactly. So tomorrow morning, bright and early, we will be back to Social Security, the Social Security office, trying to get our Medicare, trying to get Lynn's Medicare. And there are different parts, A and B. And as the people were fighting for single-payer health care, that could save many people. We did not get single-payer health care. We got a thing called the Affordable Care Act. And I do remember discussing that on an earlier program. And one of the flaws of the Affordable Care Act is that too few people can afford the Affordable Care Act. If you are totally destitute, they make room for you. But Lynn has just gotten out of jail. She's totally destitute, and she's been out for a month, and we're still trying to track down medical care. And she was an attorney. She understands. We have other attorneys working on it with us. We still do not have it. They do not make it easy, and we are not sure where they are going to go with this. And so we recognize that many of the people who have lost their homes was because they got ill and they couldn't pay the medical bills, and so they take your home, foreclosure. And this is a reality. And I was aware of the reality, and that's why I was supporting single-payer health care, because with less money, the government could give better medical care. We do not have it. We have the Affordable Care Act, and we are struggling. And again, I must say, a great appreciation. We're showing in our February 14th Welcome Home Lynn event, we will have a big map that Larry Pinkney had put together, the love map, showing 80 countries, every continent except Antarctica, every State of the Union. People have sent letters of support and money to Lynn Stewart. And so we're going to spend, you know, like as long as Lynn has on this planet, working for political prisoners, working for women prisoners, working for prisoners, and working for a better society. But at the whole time, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, and hope to see you in New York, February 14th. Say a few words to that gathering in St. Peter's Church.
Absolutely, absolutely. How's Lynn feeling?
She feels better every day. And we're looking, you know, she has said she's had the first miracle. She got out from under the thumb, the oppression of the American government, and now she has to get out from under cancer. That miracle, that first miracle happened. And our daughter, who says every day she is out is a miracle, and Lynn says every day she feels a little better, and we're working to let her body heal her and let her emotion heal her, to let the prayers that got her out keep her out, keep her well. And so, you know, food is medicine, love is medicine, sleeping 8 hours a night in a bed is medicine. And so this is what we're doing, mixing it in with Lynn speaking out on basically the issue of political prisoners. And, you know, we started out speaking out on the issue of schools and the issue of jobs, which she intends to continue as long as her health permits it. And so this is where we are. She's happy with where she is, and we will continue, and we will be successful with the help of the people who got her this far. And you
hey, you know, I really, really appreciate that, and I was very, very concerned about her health, make sure that she's okay. But listen, I want you and Lynn also to make that call tomorrow about this Carrington King. Do you have a pen that you can write his name down?
We already wrote it down, Reverend.
So you already got it down. I want you to call, and the earlier you call, the better it is. And tell me you want to hear about the investigation of the murder of Carrington Penny. They're going to try to give you the runaround, but we need to know that because we want to put enough pressure. You know, last week we made the calls, and I had to sit down with them. So that was kind of important to show what we can do if we get out here and do something. So it was a major, major victory for the people. But this is for everybody out there. When you have problems, everybody have to get together and pound them. I mean, we need to do many calls. We need to call right. We need to march. We need to do things to let these people know that we're serious about what we're doing. And, Ralph, you tell Lynn that we love her and tell her that, you know, we're thinking about her. And say we're with her 100%. And you, Ralph, and I appreciate you. I really do.
And we're going to call you on your private line tomorrow after we call.
Okay,
and
real
so
good. Real
so
good.
So we can discuss this further. And so thanks again, Reverend, and all of your listeners who chimed in and helped us make this moment possible.
Absolutely. And that's for everyone who's listening. I need you to call this number, 269-983-7111. You want to talk to the prosecutor, Michael Sepik, and you're calling about the Carrington Penny. You want to make sure that they're investigating this murder. And we want to bring that person to justice. So remember that. If you have any questions, you can call me at home at 269-925-0001. And I want to tell everybody thank you so much for listening. And I tell you, all the listeners that we have, I said I wanted to have at least a million people listening. We didn't get a million, but we're close to where we need to be. And people are definitely listening to our program. So you're all saying something that people wants to hear. So don't think you're not. You're saying things that people actually want to hear. Because if they didn't want to hear it, believe me, they wouldn't listen in. Who could listen in for a program for 2 hours? That's amazing. Listen, I want to thank you all. I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you listening. And Larry Pinkney, I love you. And I want to let you know, Dr. Short, hang in there. My friend Ralph and Lynn, God be with y'all. And on that note, I think we have just ran out of time. So get to that phone tomorrow and make sure you call that prosecutor. All you TIs need to call, because I know y'all looking for reasons not to call. Call TIs. Call. On that note.
Make the old people Thank you.